Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. My guest today is Alan Collins, and he's the head of studentloanjustice.org. And Alan is going to talk about student debt and Joe Biden. Hi, Alan. Joe Biden recently said that he was going to forgive $10,000 from everybody who has student loans. So, you know, some people have debt $100,000 and more. So I think $10,000 is really a drop in the bucket. How do you feel about it?
Well, yeah, that's right, Cynthia. You know, the average student loan borrower today is carrying somewhere around $40,000 in student loans. And, you know, that's just the average. There are people who, you know, the people who are most distressed by these loans are typically older borrowers, and their balances can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, $200,000, $300,000. And so I think to the majority of student loan borrowers, this was pretty insulting. But, you know, there's more to it than that, Cynthia. When Joe Biden says he's going to cancel student loans, he doesn't mean that he's actually going to cancel loans. What he means is that he will sign a bill that Congress brings to him to sign. And so, I really distrust Joe Biden. You know, everything that he plans on doing requires going through this very complicated, very complex, very resistant congressional legislation process where, you know, for every dollar that they want to cancel in student loans, they have to find a way to pay for it, quote unquote. So they need to take money from other programs to pay for it, or they need to raise taxes or otherwise add to the national debt. And, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years, Cynthia, and I can tell you that, first of all, Congress is just not going to cut other programs or raise $1 trillion, $2 trillion to cancel any significant amount of student loan, even $10,000. I really don't think that's even in the realm of possibility. But even if they did, Cynthia, the fact of the matter is that the Department of Education has no desire or intentions of canceling loans. We've seen that over and over and over again with every loan cancellation program already in existence. You know, we have the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, for example, and fewer than 5% of the people who try for that actually get it. In fact, the last time I checked, it was less than 1%. So the Department of Education has all kinds of ways to disqualify people out of these loan cancellation / forgiveness programs, and that's what it does. And so even Joe Biden's pledge last night to cancel $10,000 is not worth the paper it's written on. You know, as president, Joe Biden could indeed cancel up to 85% of all student debt by executive order. So he could do this without needing congressional approval, without needing one dime of tax money. You know, the taxpayers already paid for these loans many years ago. No good reason for them to pay twice. And he could do it without adding one penny to the national debt. And so that is where we need to go. You know, this is indeed a failed lending system, and I think both sides would agree to that at this point. And the most, the easiest, cheapest, most expedient way to cancel these loans is by executive order. And so I'm really disappointed up to this point that Joe Biden hasn't pledged to do anything on student loans by executive order. You know, it's just another example of a cheap campaign ploy. Sounds good, but is it, in the final analysis, pretty meaningless.
There are so many people across the country that don't think that Donald Trump is fit to be president of the United States. therefore it's kind of like anybody but Trump, and that anybody is Joe Biden. I'm sure that many of those people have got student debt. Even at this point in time, 46, 47 million people who have student debt, do they realize the involvement that Joe Biden has had in Delaware with the banking industry and student debt?
Great question. First of all, there are actually 55 million, not 45, 55 million people in the country who either have student loans or are co-signed on them. And according to the recently resigned director of the federal student loan program, certainly 80% of all federal student loan borrowers, and I presume it's probably maybe something similar for private student loan borrowers, were never going to be able to repay their loans. And this is true even before the pandemic. And I don't think that many of them at all know that Joe Biden was practically joined at the hip with the lending industry going back to his days as a senator in Delaware. Joe Biden was a very key person in getting bankruptcy protections taken away from certainly private student loans in 2005. A little side story to that. After this happened, Sallie Mae, the country's largest student loan company, they relocated their corporate headquarters from Reston, Virginia to the state of Delaware. And the chairman of Sallie Mae, or maybe it was the CEO, Albert Lord, he did an interview. Him and Joe Biden did a joint press conference to announce that fact, where they stood literally shoulder to shoulder and talked about this move with CNBC. I have heard that Joe Biden plays golf on Albert Lord's personal private luxury 18-hole golf course in Anne Arundel, Maryland. Anybody who looks into Biden in his past will see that he's been not only friends to the student loan industry, like very good friends, pretty much the entire credit industry in general just loves Biden. I see some of his critics on the news talking about how liberal Biden's going to be. And I just have to laugh, because that could not be further from the truth. He is as beholden to the banks as many, if not most, of the Republicans. And so, we really didn't have any good feelings about Joe Biden going into this campaign. And unfortunately, I just don't think that most of the voters out there really know. And I think more than that, they hate Donald Trump so much that they would vote for a loaf of cheese if it meant getting Trump out of office. So that's kind of where we're at. Now, as a group, Student Loan Justice, we've been doing this for 15 years now. We will no longer drink that Kool-Aid, Cynthia. We will not allow ourselves to be taken for granted by either of the parties. 4 years ago, we very loudly and proudly endorsed the Green Party and Jill Stein. And
right,
the way it's looking now, Cynthia, I think that's probably going to happen again. We will very happily, loudly, and proudly support Hallie Hawkins on the Green Party ticket, because we're not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. We're not doing that. We saw where that got us over 8 years of Obama. The student loan problem is simply not going to be fixed by either of the establishment Beltway candidates. And so I can only hope that people out there will look at the other parties besides the duopoly that we're trapped under now. The libertarians are possibly going to be calling for something like the cancellation of student debt as well. So I would urge all your listeners to cast a wide net when they look for candidates to endorse. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the D's and the R's.
So there's, just a handful of days left before the election. and 55 million people can swing an election. But the Green Party candidate, Howie Hawkins, isn't getting the press that he deserves. How could anybody that's such an underdog be embraced by 55 million people and pull it off?
Well, you know, it's a vexing problem, but I think it just comes down to people, voters out there in the country, not being so cowed and maybe cynical and so un-independent. You know, people need to think for themselves. And we have more than two-party systems all over the world, India, England, many other countries, and it seems to work pretty well. And I think it's been time to break this two-party monopoly on our country for years, if not decades now. And so, you know, it comes down to the people. I think the mainstream media is so beholden to one party or the other. It's frankly impossible for a guy like Howie Hawkins and the Green Party to get the sort of exposure that you would think. But I would just point out, you know, Donald Trump is probably the furthest thing from a Republican that you can imagine. And he didn't have great support from the Republican establishment 4 years ago. And
right.
Yeah, he did get a lot more press. But I'm just saying, I think it is possible for someone, sort of a politically independent person, to maybe not come through the two-party system and still have a chance to win. You know, we saw Ross Perot came pretty close, John Anderson back in the 70s and 80s. I guess that was 1980.
Right.
I'm dating myself. So it's not beyond the pale, but, you know, people really need to support these third parties. You know, people in my group are saying, Alan, why would you throw an endorsement away on the Green Party? And I say, you know, the question really is, why would I throw an endorsement away on either of the major party candidates? I mean, how many times are you going to repeat the same action expecting a different result? I mean, it's just insane, as they say. And so, you know, we look only at the student loan issue, and we care only about what candidates are fighting for us. We have put a challenge to Joe Biden that, at a minimum, he's got to pledge that he will return bankruptcy protections to student loans by executive order on day one as president. You know, Elizabeth Warren made that pledge, and to her credit, and Joe Biden said that he was adopting Elizabeth Warren's bankruptcy agenda. So we've thrown down the gauntlet, and their campaign knows that come October 20th, if we don't have at least that pledge from them, yeah, the Green Party is absolutely going to be the only party that we endorse. And I hope it makes a difference this time. I truly do, one way or the other.
There are a number of states that, and I've done a show with Howie Hawkins recently where we talked about party suppression, and the two major parties in many states across the country are trying to, you know, eliminate third parties. So they want total monopoly on voters, and third parties can, you know, just go away as far as they're concerned.
Well, yeah. And that is par for the course. I would say they've already essentially succeeded. I mean, how many votes did the Green Party get last time around? I think it was like less than 3 million. It was less than the margin of the vote count between the two major party candidates. You know, I think it's just sad to see. And, you know, I look at the Republican, certainly on the student loan issue, I look at the Democratic and Republican Party as sort of a good cop, bad cop scam. It's a hustle. And, you know, which is worse, the Republicans who pretty unabashedly will admit that they are against us, they're at least honest about it, or the Democrats who really, you know, they say nice things and they make campaign promises like what we heard from Joe Biden last night. But it's just not believable. And at the end of the day, it's clear to me that both of the major parties are defending and protecting the worst big government lending monstrosity that this country has ever seen. And, you know, as I said earlier, Cynthia, 80%, that's 4 out of 5 of all student loan borrowers, they were never going to be able to repay their loans. And that was true even before the pandemic. So, you know, we started a petition on change.org. We are calling for the extermination, the erasure of all federally owned student loans by executive order. As I said earlier, the president can do this without needing Congress, without needing congressional appropriation, without adding a dime to the national debt. And I think it's inevitable at this point, Cynthia, that that's got to happen. You know, sure, they could return bankruptcy protections to these loans tomorrow. And I think all that would accomplish is forcing 20 plus million people into bankruptcy. And, you know, I would like to think that we're a better country than that. We don't want to, you know, in an average year, less than 1 million people file for bankruptcy generally. So overwhelming the bankruptcy courts with 20 million new cases, I just don't think that's realistic. So really, certainly these federal student loans must go away. And I would say for the 15% of loans that will remain, either we might think about doing a government buyback and deletion, which will be very hard to do. What would be easier to do is simply return bankruptcy protections to those 15% of loans that remain.
Let me ask you this question, Alan.
Yep.
A lot of people who have student loans are not able to pay them. So they go into default and it ruins their credit rating. There's got to be so many people out there who have damaged credit rating because of the student loans. So there's got to be millions and millions of them. Can you address that issue?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I said earlier, the president can cancel student loans by executive order. If the president were, whether it's President Trump or the next president, if that president were to actually cancel these loans, to say nothing about the political windfall that person would win with the 44 million distrust voters out there and more. But the economy would absolutely flourish. You know, not only would $87 billion be added to GDP, between $87 and $100 billion be added to GDP just as a result of those people not having to pay into the loans and be able to spend things on other things, the increased borrowing capacity that would be freed up would probably at least match that $100 billion or so in GDP that would increase. So we're talking about taking a depression-like economy and getting it fully back on its feet. I mean, this would be an economic stimulus like probably nothing that we've seen up to this point, even during this pandemic. And yeah, to have people's credit records freed again from the wet blanket, it's more than that really, but let's just say wet blanket that these student loans throw over their credit worthiness, that's a symptom of that. And so there's no good reason not to cancel these loans, Cynthia. I mean, the only, you know, but for the political weight of the what I call the student loan swamp, who have very successfully managed to perpetuate this this monstrosity, this cancerous debt as long as they have, these loans would have been canceled many years ago. You know, the founding fathers called for uniform bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war and raise an army. And this student loan catastrophe is precisely what they were worried about. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, that is still true. And so, you know, but for the bad political will and the strong political strength of the student loan swamp, we would be freed of this burden years or decades ago.
So when this first came into being and bankruptcy protections was taken away, what was the reason for that?
Well,
you know,
there was really never a good reason to take bankruptcy from student loans in the first place. So back in the 70s, people behind the scenes, the sort of, as I said, the nascent student loan swamp at that time, they seeded the media with stories about recent college graduates who were flocking into bankruptcy court and discharging their loans. And so that was the original impetus for them restricting bankruptcy protections. And over the years since then, it was really a fait accompli in 1998. Over time, they were able to erode the protection to where today bankruptcy is essentially impossible for all student loans, not only federal student loans, but also private student loans. But, you know, we know now, Cynthia, that back in the 70s when they were seeding these stories in the media, we now know that less than 1%, in fact, about 1/3 of 1% of student loans were being discharged in bankruptcy. So that's far less than all other categories of loans at that time. So there was never a good reason to take bankruptcy protections away. And, you know, I might add, it's not just bankruptcy that's been taken away over the years. It's also statutes of limitations. And, you know, this allows the creditors, whether they're private or the federal government, to hound borrowers literally for the rest of their lives. And, you know, there are no other loans in this country from which bankruptcy protections have been stripped. There are also no other loans in this country from which statutes of limitations have been taken away. And, you know, even fair debt collection practices, truth in lending, these are either restricted or non-existent for student loans, depending on various criteria. So, you know, student loans are at this point weaponized lending instruments, and they are threatening. In fact, I would say they are taking down the entire national economy at this point. They've got to go. You know, there's a conservative, Grover Norquist, and whether you're conservative or not, I hope that you can appreciate this quote. But Grover said, you know, government should be small enough so that if you had to, take it to the bathroom and drown it in the tub. And I have to say that he was onto something. You know, this certainly this federal student loan system, it has got to be put down. It's got to be put out of its misery for the common good. And we have won this argument everywhere we've gone. You know, in the past 3 weeks, we've been featured on Fox News, on Fox Business, in Newsweek, Yahoo News, Heavy.com. We've done interviews with dozens of local television stations across the country. And at this point, not even one person has successfully been able to argue against our premise. You know, there's a sort of a knee-jerk resistance where people say, you know, if you borrow money, you have to pay it back. But, you know, say what they might, and I agree with that, by the way. If you borrow money, yeah, you absolutely should pay it back. That's always been true. But regardless of what sort of outdated off-base lectures critics might want to give, the fact of the matter is that this is a wholly failed lending system. You know, we now know that 80% of all borrowers were never going to be able to repay. We now know that 2004 borrowers who were only borrowing 1/3 of what's being borrowed today, the default rate for that group of people is 40%. So of everybody walking around with student loans right now, Cynthia, my best estimate, and I'm usually pretty conservative in my guesses, is that something like 75, if not 80% of all borrowers will ultimately wind up defaulting on their loans. So, you know, the default rate for subprime home mortgages, which I think most people would say was a failed lending system, was 20%. So now we're looking at triple, quadruple that default rate. So you know, any rational person looking at any reasonable measure or metric is compelled to agree that this lending system is toast. I would say it's vanishing into a mist of illegitimacy as we speak. And there is no better opportunity than this current pandemic to get rid of this lending system, do the right thing at long last, and come up with a better, cheaper, more fair way to finance higher education in this country. It's long past time.
Wow. So we just have a couple of minutes left, and you know, I think we will be talking again, because if either Bush or Biden get, I'm sorry, Trump or Biden get elected, this problem, according to you, will not go away tomorrow, right?
Well, not without a presidential executive order canceling the loans. That is
okay,
the way.
So
but remember, you know, by popular rejection, you know, the will of the people is strong. And, you know, even if the bean counters in Washington, D.C. put up a fight and on paper these loans don't go away, these loans are going away by popular consent, if nothing else. So, yeah, I definitely look forward to talking to you down the road on this, Cynthia. It's a very interesting time.
Okay. So in our last minute, give your contact information. So if anybody
people can find us at studentloanjustice.org. More than that, I would ask them to sign our petition at change.org/cancelstudentloans. And they can also find us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/groups/SLJ group. I'd be happy to have them. We've got, and by the way, we've got 725,000 signatures on our petition now, so we are really rocking.
Do you think that the government is going to even take any notice?
Well, I think this issue is now in play in this presidential election. Even though Joe Biden's promises aren't worth the paper they're written on, they sound pretty good. And so he is going to attract a very large number of those 44 million distressed student loan borrowers. And at this point, I don't think Donald Trump can win the election. I know that's sounds like a crazy thing to say, but I mark my words, Cynthia, there's no way that Donald Trump can win this election at this point if he does nothing
mm-hmm.
more on the student loan issue. So, I mean, frankly, I'm hopeful that Donald Trump will throw a Hail Mary pass, recognize this failed lending system for what it is, cancel the loans before the election. I think that would be exactly the right thing to do. I think it would help him. I don't know if it would guarantee a victory, because some people just hate Donald Trump no matter what he does. But I think at this point it's probably his best move. So we'll see.
Oh, okay, Alan. Our time is up and we will talk again. So you have been listening to Alan Collins, the head of studentloanjustice.org, and thanks, Alan, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.